Okay, so we're on the Tubit's afternoon. I'm at Aleph. I'll begin a few lines from the top third line. So, if you remember yesterday, we learned two memories that said there were different takanos of Usha. Each one was said by Rabbi Ila'a, and the first one was that he said that there was takana that a person should support his children when they're younger, and then the Gemara ended up plugging it up that they're required to do it. I mean, between age 6 and 13 till their puberty. Then there was another kind of usha we learned as well. We said that if a person, transferred all of his property to his sons, that he and his wife had to be supported from it, even though they didn't make provision for it, and that was plugged up also. Okay, this is the third kind of usha, and we'll see where we go with this. So on the third line. Amar Rabbi Ila, but Usha Kinu, in Usha they established some of Vazvez, this I think is sort of famous, that if a person means he's dissipating his assets to tzedakah or giving away his money for tzedakah, shouldn't give away more than a fifth of his assets. And we'll talk about it. So it means income now, but we'll talk. Satani Nami Hachi, we learn a Bryce that supports this. Amar Vazvez, Yotermi. The Bryce says Mufurash that a person shouldn't give away more than a fifth of his assets or income. We'll see. It means you have to, take sort of like a levy on all your property at some point in time. So initially it would be your assets when you or whatever when you first come into it, and then after it's the income, I'll explain. So he says, Femi's Therich Labriyo, because the person, if he gives away too much money, he might become like he needs stock as well. And then they say, though, that if a person is so wealthy that there's no chashash of that, then he could give more than a fifth. It was an incident with somebody who wanted to give away more than a fifth of his assets, although his chaver didn't permit him. Umanu, who is the person who didn't want to permit him? Rabbi Sheva. Ba'amri lo, Rabbi Sheva, the others say that Rabbi Sheva was the person who wanted to give away the tzedakah. And his chaver didn't permit him. Umanu, who is that? Rabbi Akiva. Amar Rav Nachman, b'itim Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Rav Nachman says, and some say it's Rav Acha bar Yaakov, Mikra, what's the pasuk that gives us the remez for this thing about the Chomesh? So it says by Yaakov Avinu, b'chol asher tenli aser asher nolach. Yaakov, when he's leaving to go to Laban, so he's resting on in Beit El, where Machloket, but either way, it's either he comes to Beit El and Yerushalayim comes underneath him, or with Machloket Rashi and Ramban, or he goes to the Makom HaMikdash. But he says in the morning, he says, whatever, if you guard me, then everything I give you will be Aser Asher Nolach. So the Gemara Darshan has a double Lashon of Maaser. So he doesn't say Aser Lach, he says Aser Asher Nolach. So he says that I'm going to give you a Maaser and then another Maaser. So the Gemara says, "Well, Dami Yisur Ba'Achili Yisur Kama." But the first tithe is not equivalent to the second tithe. Let's say I have $100. So if I take Maaser from the $100, I take $10 off. Now I'm left with $90. So then, if I take a Maaser from that, it's $9. So here I started off. So I don't have 20%. It's 19 out of the 100. So it's 19% in that example, it's not 20%. So Amar Avashi Astrenu Labatra Ki Kama. So he's saying, and this is where I should have said it in Rashi, it doesn't say Aser Aser Lach, I'll take a Maaser and then another Maaser. He says Aser Aasrenu, but the second Maaser but the same as the first Maaser. But that's just the remez from the Psukim. Let me do two or three more lines, then I'll talk some more about this, and then we'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. This is Amar of Simi Barashi, Ushunalalam Mitma Tokoholkot. So Rav Simi Barashi, so we had three members, as I mentioned before, from Ila'a that quoting Takanas of Usha. So Rav Simi Barashi said, "Ushvonu lalu mitzvah tov." So the first memra that we had was Amar Bila Amar Shlakish Mishum Rav Yosi Bar Chanina. So it's quite a lineup. Then the second memra was Amar Shlakishum, excuse me, Rabbi La Amar Shlakish, the second one. And the third was just Rabbi La. So in other words, you start off with like 3, 2, and 1. In other words, in terms of the number of people. So the siman to remember, if you remember the progression, is the first is ketanim, that refers to the first, the first takana, the bottom of the tav shin ketanim, that you have to support the kids when they're younger, and then katfu is person you know, he makes disposition of all his property, gives it all to his sons. Ubizbizu is, you know, this din with the tzedakah. Okay, just one second. Now, if you look at the Rashi on the third wide line, he says, Mechomesh, Rashi says, Shebin Chasav. Rashi says clearly of all of his assets, Shloitzarech Labriot. But that's what he's talking about. Let's look at the Tosfos. So the second Tosfos, Ayivazviz Yoter Mechomesh, Shefarish Birushalmi, Shepar Mishon Yechol of Azviz Chomesh. The first time he'll take a fifth off, become Eilech, Shana Mishani, Tin Chomesh Areva. Then afterwards, income. So it means like that all the money has to come be taxed, so to speak. In other words, whatever you have has to have gone through, you know, a maiser or a chomesh. That's the way that works. Okay, let me just say a little bit from the sheet and then we'll pause. So now, he posts here, so we did the Gemara already. Now, the Ramah, so we said that you shouldn't give more than a fifth of your earnings to tzedakah because we're afraid you'll become poor and dependent on tzedakah. So the Ramah applies this one-fifth limit to all mitzvos esei. Let's say a positive commandment. In other words, we're talking about tzedakah, but let's say, you know, I need a pair of tefillin. I need to buy a pair of tefillin. I need to build a sukkah. I need to do other mitzvos esei. So he says, and rules that a poor man is exempt from purchasing tefillin or a lulav, it will cost more than a fifth of his earnings and assets. In other words, I don't have to spend more than just like Alibazis, you term in Chomesh Ritztaka. So for any Mrs. S.A., I'm not obligated to give more than a fifth. He says the Ramah writes, however, that the one fifth limit does not apply to Mrs. Lotas, the negative commandments. Thus, a poor man is not permitted to eat non kosher food, even must spend all his money to obtain kosher food. In other words, whatever lav is, I have to give away all my assets rather than transgress the lav. So Tosfos, and we did this Tosfos in yesterday's daf, Achpia, which is the third Tosfos on Mem Tenor Bays, Tosfos writes that one who refuses to give staka not only transgresses the positive mitzvah patok tiftachid yadcho, open your hand, but the negative mitzvah of lo tamis lavav of lo tikosid yadcho, meaning staka is both a mitzvah tase and it's a slow tase. Right, so what he says, the Marcheshes is a Rabbi Agus. I don't know if he was related. It was a bird Agus we knew here in Great Neck. I assume it's his Mishpacha, the Marcheshes. Anyway, so the Marcheshes accordingly notes the fact that sages exempted a person from giving more than a fifth of his money to Staka indicates, contrary to the Ramah, there's no distinction between Mislotas and Misese. In other words, they're Gufa. In other words, we're trying to extrapolate a din from Staka. So the Gemara says, I don't have to spend more than a fifth of my assets on Staka. So the Ramah wants to extrapolate from there that by all Mrs. Essay would be the stock of the Essay. By all Mrs. Essay would be the same way. I don't have to give more than a fifth of my assets for any Mrs. Essay. But it would be low Tase, not that way. So the Marchesh points out, and it's Mepurish and Tosos, that Staka isn't just a Mrs. Essay, it's a low Tase. So when the Gemara says you don't spend more than a fifth of money on Staka, it's not just an essay, it's low Tase as well. So how does that work? How does that stream voice with the Ramah says? The Ramah wanted to say that you have to give all your assets, but here the Gemara says just a fifth. So that's the question of the Marchesh. So in defense of the Ramah, please, somebody is unmuting themselves. One second. All right. In defense of the Ramah, the Marchesh cites several authorities and maintain that one is obligated to sacrifice his entire fortune from actively violating the Mrs. Lotan set. So what the Ramah wants someone to say is the Ramah means if I'm going to go be a dayim, in other words, I'm going to eat food, that's trait. So I'm not doing it b'shei v'al tase, I'm doing it with a kumva ase. So there I have to give all my assets. However, a Mrs. Lotan set, which really involves a passive violation, is similar to a sese in this regard. So he wants to say what the Ramah said, it means, yeah, it could be a Lotan set, but if it's a Lotan set that I could passively ignore, and it doesn't come under the same din. Therefore, one is not obligated to sacrifice more than a fifth of his money in order to avoid the violation of the mitzvah of lo tikos yadcha, since refraining from giving charity is not its violation. That's one answer. Alternatively, the Marchesh suggests that the mitzvah of lo tikpots and lo ta'ameitz, which is this week's Parsha Shavua, he says, were given to strengthen the obligation of patoch tiftah. In other words, these mitzvahs are unusual. These mitzvahs are closely linked to lotaseh. These mitzvahs lotaseh are unusual. They're closely linked to the mitzvahs esei, and the lotaseh is just to strengthen the kiyum of the esei. And consequently, these mislotas that only apply in situations where the mitzvah patoch tiftach applies. Since the mitzvah patoch tiftach does not apply to a person who's already given 1/5 of his money to tzedakah, mislotas lotikos lotahamets also did not apply. In other words, they're just complementing the mitzvah's essay. So if the mitzvah's essay is fulfilled with the fifth, then the lotasa doesn't come into play with it, but a different lotasa would be different. Now, the Shulchan Aruch in codifying this halacha writes that if one can afford to, he should give the destitute whatever they need. If one is not so wealthy, one should donate. He should donate 1/5 of his annual income to tzedakah if he wishes to fulfill mitzvah mukhtar, preferred mitzvah. Donating 1/10 of one's income to the poor is considered mida beinonit, standard, and donating less than 1/10 is considered miserly. You know, I believe, this is the way I recall, I think that Rav Leibowitz, he once quoted Rav Schechter. This I heard, I think, online. He quoted Rav Schechter. He said that the Rav Schechter says that I think that he gives 1/5 of his income to tzedakah. In other words, he feels like, you know, he's, you know, in that category. Anyway, so the Chachmas Adam infers from the wording on the Shulchan Aruch that the 1/5 tzedakah limit imposed by the sages in Usha only pertains to one who can conceivably, yeah, I don't remember whether I heard it in person or on the tape, but he says, the Chachmas Adam says that the 1/5 limit only pertains to one who can conceivably become impoverished by giving more, but does not apply to a very wealthy individual who can easily afford to give more than 1/5 of his income without such concern. So if a person's got $20 million, it doesn't mean he's limited to 1/5. He can give more than that. He says, the Shita Mekubisa infers from a Medrash that the 1/5 limit only applies to charity given to the needy, but not to assistance given for Hachzakat Torah, support of Torah studies. That's in a different category. The Chafetz Chaim explains that supporting Torah studies is different from other charities because one who supports Torah study becomes a partner in the Torah study, like Yisachar Zvulun relationship. Chazal tells us that Yisachar and Zvulun had a unique partnership. Zvulun worked and gave, or the Shevet Zvulun worked and gave half of his earnings to Yisachar, studied Torah all day. Reward Zvulun received half of Yisachar's reward, no longer above. Since by supporting a Torah scholar, one enters into a partnership with him, one fifth limit does not apply. Okay, one second. Thanks for the questions. One second. All right. Now he's got more here, but I think I want to move on. And there's more about this 1/5 limit. But okay, who's all right now? Who's got questions, comments, and thoughts? Or Aramoshi, you know, what's up? One second. Yeah, go ahead. All right, Rafi, and then I'll come to you, Aramoshi. What's up?
I am.
Wait, one second. Yeah, go ahead.
They said the divvy.
Wait. 1 second. I'm going to do Rafi, and then I'll come to you. Okay. Let me hear Rafi. Right. That's a good hara. Okay. So Rafi asked, why does the Gemara use the term l'hamavazves? So there's a piece of Torah here. He quotes from the Baal Shem Tov. He says, mavazves means like to dissipate, but he says the connotation will waste. So he says the Gemara is referring to a person who's giving as an aspect of Biza. He feels that as if he has been ransacked by the poor and will feel resentful and exploited if he parts with more than 20% of his income. However, one who gives his whole heart and feels true joy in giving, having given, he's not included in the prescription rule. In other words, he's trying to say that a person has a hetter to get, like, I still want to need Tori Torah. They said, this is the one shear everybody has fulfilled, like, you know, absolutely, the 1/5. But he's saying, like, in the 1/5, this is Derech Drush. He wants to say, right, it doesn't mean to dissipate or whatever. So the Baal Shem Tov, I think, he says here that he would give, you know, I think lots of things. He would give away every cent he had in the house every single day. So he says, they ask him about the Gemara Masech Subas. He says, that's if you're giving away and you feel like it's like dissipation. But if you're feeling and you're feeling like you can't miss an ox way. Okay, what do you have? What? Right. I don't know about that at all. I don't agree with that. Who said that it's people who are learning Torah? Where? Where does it say that? Let me see. Where? Well, they talk about, where did you learn it? In which Masechta? With me? Well, I thought maybe you learned it in Masechta Megillah. It's where they are. Asara Batlanim in the base of Medrash. But I'm not aware that they necessarily, I think there is a pshat that there are people who would be around for a minyan But I'm not aware that any Talmidei Chachamim are called Batlanim. That I'd like to see. Okay, Aaron Moshe, you've been patient. Let me hear. Let's say we'll hear from you now.
Two things.
Scream.
First of all, the Divrei Chaim, the Sanzerov used to say that that they used to ask his chassidim, how much does my son give the Shinavarov? So they used to say he gives a fifth. So he used to say, yeah, Eken gave him a chaimish. But in Choytim, we're Choytim, we have to give more than a fifth. In other words, the son is a tzaddik gomer.
He quotes the Divrei Chaim here. He says, when the Divrei Chaim of sons was asked this very same question, responded, limitations, he didn't mention the son, but he said limitations only for a person who is doing the mitzvah tzedakah. For someone like me, who needs to atone for his many sins, how could there be a limit? It is not fitting that that one should spend every cent. That one should spend every cent to save one's life. Okay, what's next?
Right. Also, one other thing. You mentioned Yisachar and Zvulun. Zvulun specifically was a sailor, so that he had to thank Rabbeinu Shloim every time he came home. He traveled the seas. If Zvulun was in an office, after a while he would say Koychi v'yotzim yadi osali yisachayel azeh. That he wouldn't want Yisachar as a partner. He says, well, I'm working and he sits and does nothing. But the fact that he was a sailor and he had to thank the Rebbeinu Shloim all the time for coming home, that caused the connection between Yisachar and Yehuda.
Okay. All right. I'm going to move on. Okay. Thank you.
Rabbi, quick question regarding the Chomesh.
Yeah.
We have always Milgav and Milbar. And a lot of times we say Chomesh would mean 25%. Why is it in this situation we're saying it's Dafka 20% and not 25%?
Yeah, so I'm not. Okay. So he's saying like this, that sometimes when in the Gemara, like there's a question, is it Milagav or Milabar? Sometimes we look at the, in other words, right, so like, let's say, what is 20% of 100? So one way is to say 20% is our 20%, the fifth. But another way is to say that 20% is really a quarter. Yeah. So Yosef says that, well, it's a remez from the Pesukim, but Yosef says if you're taking 2/10, that wouldn't work in with that shot. But other than that, I don't know. Okay, I'm gonna move on. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. All right, let me go back and remute everybody. Okay. Let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're on Nun Amud Aleph. Okay, so we're Amar Rav Yitzchak around the 10th line. So the Gemara says Amar Rav Yitzchak, but Usha Kinu is another Tekana of Usha, and Usha is again in the town of the Galil. So he says in Usha Kinu she had met Galil and Beno and Shteim Esrei Shana. So Megalil like sort of roll with him, meaning don't be too tough on the kids if you're trying to, you know, teach them and encourage them to learn. And Rashi says in the 15th narrow line, imisarev milamod, if the child, you know, he's resisting. So he says, you go softly with him. After that, after 12 years, no more Mr. Nice Guy, Rashi says, means like to whip him with a strap, to cut off the food. In other words, this is what you got to do with learning. We'll talk more about it in a minute. So Ini, is this true? So it's coming out till 12, nice and easy. After 12, not so nice. If they refuse to learn, Inis is true. Va'amarli Rav, the Rav Shulam Bar Shilat. But Rav said to Rav Shulam Bar Shilat. Rav Shulam Bar Shilat was a malamed, and elsewhere in the Gemara. Oh, I see. It's in Baba Batra. Yeah. So Rav Shulam Bar Shilat was a malamed tino coat. So he says, Amarli Rav, the Rav Shulam Bar Shilat, Batzir mi Barshit lo tekabil. In other words, if they're less than 6 years old, you know, don't even accept them as students. But Barshit, Kabil Sfele Kitora. But once they're six and they're coming into like your cheder or whatever, to then teach them and feed them like an ox, it means like force feed them, make them do whatever they have to do, or it means like an ox, like the ox is attached to the yoke. And so here we said, like, you know, we're nice till age 12. Here it's just till six and then tough. So the Gemara says, in Sfele Kitora, so he says, "Safed leKetorah in Sfei leKetorah miwein yirodim olachayav alachar shteimis reshana." So the first thing the Gemara is, "When Sfei leKetorah means we are a little tougher on them, but we're not going to be really, really tough till they're 12. The Ibaidim, or else I could say Lokasha, or else I could say there's no contradiction. Again, we have the two statements. We have Rav's statement that we're nice till 12, and then this statement that I didn't say right. One was the statement of the Takanas Usha for Rav Yitzchak that we're nice till age 12. The other statement of Rav that after 6 we get tough with them. So one is that it doesn't mean tough, but a little bit more forceful. But the real force would come after age 12. Bibareim alokasha halamikra halamishna. Or else I could say the two statements are talking about different things. When Rav was talking about Shulbar Shilat to really rip him into shape, it's talking about studying psukim and chumash. He says, whereas the earlier statement that we had from the Tekanas Usha that after age 12 we're going to be tough, that's for the study of Mishnah. The Amar Abaye Amar Liyem, because Abaye said, my mom said to me, and we know whenever it says Amar Liyem, it means really his nursemaid, because his mother died in birth. The Amar Abaye Amar Liyem, Barshit Lamikra, when you're 6, it means after age 6 you should study psukim. Bar Esther Lamishnah, when you're, after 10, study Mishnayot. Bar Klesar Litani Tameit Lay. 13, you should be fasting 24 hours. 13. So here, when it comes to Bar Klesar, one second. When it says the Bar Klesar, it means like when you're in the 13th year. It means like you're 12, a year before you're 13. So you should already be fasting everything that way. So the Gemara says, it means if you have a male child, so when he's already 12, so he should fast Holy Yom Kippur, and a girl should already fast Holy Yom Kippur when she's 11. So he says, and that's what the Gemara says. The look Rashi brings it down. He says, the 2 years before that, they should already be fasting a number of hours. So Amar Abaye, back to Gemara, Amar Li Aim, Hai Bar Shit, the Tarkale Akraba, Yomad Mishalim, Shit Lokai. So Abaye says, my mom said to me, if it's a 6-year-old and he's bitten by a scorpion on the day that becomes 6, he's not going to live. Rashi learns he won't live unless he's got a really proven remedy, which the Lord is going to give. And Tosus wants to say that if he has this remedy, this will prevent the scorpion from biting him. Maya Sute, what's his cure? Mirarator Dadaya Chivrata Beshifra. It's the bile of a white vulture in habit with beer. It says Nishafye, so the bile you apply to the surface, the skin, Unishake, then you apply the beer to it and then drink it. Haibar Shata, if he's a 6-year-old, the Tarik Lazy Bura, if a bee bit him. And I know in Farsi you have the word for bee is zabur. It's in Farsi, it's similar. He says, "Hi bar shot at the Tarkli Zibura is bitten by a bee. The Yom Demishlaim shot the year that he's on the day like he completes, he's 6 years old. Lo chai, he won't live. Mayasute atzvata didikla b'mayam neshafi neshake. He should get like the base of the date palm tree. It's like." Similar to vines that grow over other plants, but it's grows around the base of the date palm tree, and then I assume that you would mix it with the water and then apply it to the skin and then drink it. Amar Rav Katina, Kulamachni said the no pachum ben sheish. Rav Katina says whoever, he forces his child when he's below the age of 6 to study, ratzak rabbeinu magio, he's gonna. Try to, keep him healthy. He won't be able to. It's like too early to immerse in learning. But ikida amri chaverav ratzinach rabbi maginoto. Others say no. It means that the other students won't be able to catch up with him. But tervayu it nahu. The Gemara says they're both true. Chalish begamir. In other words, a child that the Gemara is saying if he's if he's immersed in learning before he's age 6, so he'll be weak when he's older, but he'll be well learned. Or else I could say, Hadakachi Shadabari. It's a different halacha. If it's a weak child, so then he's too early. But if he's healthy, then that's good. And then that'll help him with the whole thing with that. Okay, now let me talk about some of the halacha that we did, and we'll see where we go. Now, all right, this we did. All right, now first, the Gemara said that Rashi mentioned that after age 12, then you even whip him. and you cut back on the food. So I was talking to this Rabbi Avi Levinson, he's in the Beis Medrash. He was saying to me, the Rav Volbi writes that today, like, it's not so shayach, these things. He says it is counterproductive today, because in our society, you know, in other words, if you hit the kid, he's going to he's not going to fall into line. He's going to resist even more. That's needless to say about where you may end up in jail with the, you know, children's services and things like that. But the but that's what Rav Volbi wants to say. Yeah, but the idea being, though, that a person, you know, should be, you know, mindful of the education for his kids, be on top of the situation and be madrich them. Okay, then there's another issue, though, that I don't think we've touched on, and the Mishnah says, ben chamesh lemikra, and it says, ben esher lemishnah. There was a Mishnah Pirkei Avot says that when you're 5 years old, you study the Pesukim, and then when you're a 10-year-old, you get the Mishnayot. And here the Gemara mentions some other dates, but it seems to be like, in other words, you could begin studying at five, and then maybe crack the whip or whatever, or a little tougher when they're six. And similarly with the Mishnayot, you know, 10 and 12 and the whole thing like that. I think, didn't somebody say that about this? Let me say one second. So, which Tosos? I'm looking. Yeah. So it's the third Tosos. So Shehi Adam Galgal in Beno Ad Shemesh Shana. Tosos says V'Had Adam Sechad Avo Ben Esther LeMishna Lo Shirini Mo LeChayav V'Lo Galgal. In other words, I could construe both together. In other words, the Galgal, I'm going to be easy with him, but I can introduce him, you know, to the Pesukim, to the Mishnah. And then you're reading Malachiah when he's 12. Okay, who's the question? How many of you did so far? Okay, moving on. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. Okay, we're around 10 lines above where it gets wide downstairs. Amri Yosi Bar Chanina, Usha Kin, another Takana Usha. So we have quite a few Takanas and Usha. We had three, and then we had a fourth one, and this is, I think, the fifth one. So, So, if a woman brings property into the marriage, so she can own the property and the husband gets the payroll from the property, that's called nixei milud. Nechasim means usually real property. Milud means the pluck. It's like a bird, you're like plucking the feathers, but you're getting the payroll from the parka. So, let's say the woman, during the course of the marriage, you know, she's got 10 acres of land, she sells the land. He says, and then she's dies. She's gestorben geboren. So he says, Habal motzi miyad lekuchot. So this we touched on yesterday. It means that we're going to view the husband, in other words, Chazal, you know, embellished his rights. And they said the husband, we're going to treat the husband as if he's a lokeach, like a prior purchaser of the property. So as a lokeach, he'll be able to get the property back. Because we're not going to treat the husband like a yoresh, whatever the wife has. We're going to treat him as a lokeach, by a purchaser, and he gets the property back from whoever they sold it. So, Ashrei Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef or Rav Yibahu, for certain dinim, we said he's like a lokeach. Remember, yesterday we had the din yesterday was about supporting the in-laws, and then he wasn't a lokeach, even though he is a lokeach, but that din, that they have a right to try to get the money from it. So back in the Gemara, so he says, Ashkei Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef or Rabbi Bau, the Havakaibu Hus de Usha. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef encountered Rabbi Bau, and he was standing like with a whole clever people in Usha. He says, Amarlei man marad the Shmaita the Usha. Who's the one who brought that memory down that we just said? So Amarlei Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanin, Rabbi Yosef Bar Chanin, like we have in our Gemara. So he learned it from him 40 times, and it was like something that was in his pocket. That's what the Gemara has, like you study something like 40 times, and then you have it. I remember Rav Schechter mentioning that. And it's interesting because in yesterday's Gemara, if you remember, this was on 10 lines down on Mem 10 or days. So we had the gears in our Gemara was that Reish Lakish said, Mishum Rabbi Yehuda Bar Chanina, and then on the side, it has to be Rabbi Yosi Bar Chanina. And so it seems like fit in, you know, with this as well. Okay, So now the Gemara quotes Pasuk in Tehillim. Ashrei Shomrei Mishpat of Tzedaka B'Kolei. Fortunately, those who observe justice and who do tzedaka constantly. It sounds like 24 hours a day they do tzedaka. Can a person do tzedaka 24 hours a day? So Darshu Rabbatina should be Yavna. So the Chachamim and Yavna darshans as follows. Ba'amri lo Reblezer. Others say the Reblezer darshan. Zahazan ba'namu mutav shin ketanim. It's talking about a person who, you know, sustains his kids when they're ketanim. So we saw already, ketani ketanim means till age six. But after age six, they'll borrow bat mitzvah, which is the way Chazal have it. So it's a mitzvah to support them, but it's like you're doing tzedaka with them. In other words, you're supporting them. They're giving food, you know, shelter. He says, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar, Zamagadal Yatom Yatoma Tok Beito Masyan. Rabbi Nachmani says, the person who raises a Yatom Yatoma, like an orphan, a male orphan, a female orphan, Tok Beito Masyan, and then he gets them married off. I don't know if it's married to each other, but he gets them married off. That's Oset Staka B'Kolei. So now the Gemara quotes another Pasuk, also from Tehillim. Onva Oshet B'Beito, he has the assets in his home, but its staka is forever. So it seems like a little bit of a steer. In other words, it sounds like he doesn't lose the money. Honva Oshet B'Beito, the money remains in the house, but its staka goes on forever. But it sounds like he had X number of dollars, but it still is in the house. So Rav Hunav Rav Chista, Chadamar Zalomei Torah Umalamda. So one says it's talking about a person who studies Torah and then teaches the Torah. So he studies the Torah, teaches it. So what he studies, he still got. That's a Hon Moshe Beto. But then he's teaching the Torah. So he's giving away. So that's the staka. He says, V'chadamar, Zakotiv Torah Nevi Mektubim, Mashin La'acherim. One says this person, he writes Torah Nevi Mektubim, means like on cloth, but he loans it out to people. So he's got the Tzeftza, that's a Hon Moshe Beto. But he does staka with it because he loans it to people need a safer Torah, they need a safer Nebiyim. So Mela, that's his shot. Then the Gemara says on line four, the fourth line downstairs, Shalom Israel, you should be zocha to see your grandchildren. You know, people were talking about their grandchildren before. Zocha to see your grandchildren, Shalom Israel, peace over Israel. So what's the connection between those two clauses that you'll see your grandchildren, Shalom Israel? So Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Heman Shabanim Lubanecha, once you see grandchildren, Shalom Yisrael, at b'dei chalitza b'yibam. In other words, if you're having grandchildren, so nobody in the family should require yibam or chalitza. If there's yibam or chalitza, so it could lead to sometimes, you know, discord, because with chalitza, like, you know, like the almana, right, is spitting in his presence, and if it's yibam, they could do yibam ba'al korcho, so it's like not everybody's always like a happy party, you know, camper with this. So, but if there's kids, so there's no yibam, no chalitza. So Shmuel Baruch Mani Amar, since you have a grandchildren, Shalom al Dayanei Yisrael. There'll be Shalom with the Dayanim for the judges. Lo'atilin Suye means that if there's a clear line of, you know, descent, so then people won't fight over the Yerusha. In other words, like if the man has sons, so they're the Yerushim, as opposed to other members of the Mishpacha and things like that. So Rashi says, in Suye, Mikro, Bekoda Menachla. People want to have a fight. Who has priority over who? In terms of the Nachla, although they ask on this, that the Dinah, in other words, you'll have sons, your grandsons. So in other words, everything, everybody's producing Yorshim. So if you're producing Yorshim and Yorshim and Yorshim, that's Shalom al Yisrael. Okay, who's the question comes to us on anything we did so far?
Why does it have to go down to third generation for that to be Shalom al Yisrael in terms of Yibam or Chalitza?
Yeah, that's what Yosef was asking. So I just assume, in other words, why do you need three generations? It says Urei Vanim Levanecha. Why do you need two generations?
You gotta,
what's up, Aaron Moshe?
Three generations. They say Torah Machzeres Alechsanya.
That's different pshat. Different pshat. We're doing the pshat with the Yerusha.
So with Yerusha, you might say that just like you have to teach your children and your grandchildren, so that's three generations.
You're giving a different shot, but the Gemara says, Shalom al Dayanei Yisrael, Shalom Atilin Suye. What do those words mean? All right, so the only thing I would think is, like, things are well settled, you know, like... you know, one, like one generation, you know, like maybe like people begin fighting even before the person's dead or whatever. So like, yeah, three generations, like this period of quiet, you know, in the family for a long time. Other than that, I don't know. Okay, I'm going to move on. Okay, let's take a look. Unless somebody has any more questions, comments, or thoughts. Okay, let's keep moving. Okay, now, so let's just refresh the recollection. So remember the mission we did yesterday, Mem Tet Amud Aleph. So the mission said, he says, Zemedrish Darash Rablaz Ben Azar Tenechachamim B'Ker B'Yavne Habanim Yershu B'Benot Yizonus. Remember we said there were two Tanai Ketuba. One is Ketuba Binin Dechrin. Male children will Yarshin Yorik Suba, the wife. In other words, maybe there are other sons from other wives and things like that. B'Benot Yizonu. And the daughters will be supported from the estate. And that was also one of the Tanai Ketuba, that they'll be supported till they become Bogrod or they get married. So he says that just like the sons only yarshin after the death of the father, so too the daughters are only supported after the death of the father, but during his life he doesn't have to support them. So let's see. So Zemedrish, turn page, on the top line are no number of days, 50B top line. So, okay, Yativ Rav Yosef coming to Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Yosef was sitting before Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna is the Rebbe, and it sounds like Rav Yosef is the Talmud. That's what it sounds like. Yativ Rav Hamnuna v'ka'amar. Rav Hamnuna was sitting, and he said, and it's interesting that, you know, that they used to sit when they studied Torah. I think the Rav was makbid to sit when he was giving the shir. So he says here, Yativ Rav Hamnuna v'ka'amar, shem she'en habanim yorshim elamin akarka, and we don't understand this, and we must be patient. Just like children only yarshin the real property, kachin habanim nizonot, element of karka. So too, the girls are only supported, means after the death of the father, from his real property. So Abishalei Kuliyama. So everybody, when they heard this, they made a whole tumult. He says, the Shabik Aruhu Diarti Lebane, means the boys only yarshin real property. Lo Shabik Aruhu Diarti Lebane, they don't inherit metalklim and things like that. How could that be? So Amalei Rav Yosef. So Rav Yosef said, I don't know, to Rav Hamnuna, where he says, Dilma, maybe what you meant was, Ketubah bin Indichrin, Tamamar. Maybe you meant that Ketubah bin Indichrin. In other words, Ketubah bin Indichrin is the money that what she brings into the Ketubah that's been designated for her from the real property that'll go to the bin Indichrin, the male children. Maybe that's what you meant. So then you meant that the Banim, in other words, they only Yarshin, the real property, is part of bin Indichrin. And in the same way, the daughter's only supported from the real property. So he says, so he says, Amalei, Mar Gavarabahu Yadamai Kamin. He says, you're a great person, so you understand what I'm saying. They don't understand what I was talking about. Let's just do the top Tosos, and then we'll move on. So Yati Rabbi Yosef Kamid Rav Hamnuna, Mashvad Rabbi Yosef Katan Mi Rav Hamnuna. So in this Gemara, it sounds like Rabbi Yosef is the junior, and Rav Hamnuna is the senior. He says, Per Kabadikushin Mashvad Rav Hamnuna Tamido Sharav Chisto Haya. And in Kiddushin, it sounds like Rav Hamnuna was the Talmid Rav Chista. So if we do the chart, we have Rav Chista, then we would have Rav Yosef, and then we have Rav Hamnuna. That's the way it sounds like. Rav Chista's on top, and then Rav Yosef's in the middle, Rav Hamnuna in the bottom. He says, Rav Chista, yeah. He says, Tamidosh Rav Chista, yeah. Gabe Sabe Dinaziak, Loatu Pirkit Rav Chista, Amale Rav Huna, Zil San Inu, Rav Yosef Chaviro, Rav Chista, yeah. But Rav Yosef was a colleague of Rav Chista. So it's not working out so well. So, in other words, we're having, I'm not taking out the blackboard, but Rav Chisda is on top, Rav Hamnuna is in the middle, Rav Yosef is on the bottom. But we know elsewhere, Rav Yosef was a colleague of Rav Hamnuna, but Rav Hamnuna seems like he's like, you know, the grandfather, so to speak, in terms of the Rebbeim. El Spirit Lamar, the three Rav Hamnuna habus. So it says, you have to say the two Rav Hamnunas, otherwise it doesn't work out. Okay, let's see back in the Gemara. Any questions, comments, thoughts?
How do you answer the question?
So he said that, in other words, Rav Hamnuna said that just like the sons only yarshin karka, the daughters only supported from the karka. So the sons yarshin much more than karka. They get all the metalton and everything. But it means that the sons yarshin with ketubah bin indichrin. In other words, the stipulation in the ksuba that they're going to get the amount, her sons that she has with him, they get the real property. And in the same fashion, that real property will be used for the source to support the daughters, you know. Right. Okay. So let's see back in the Gemara. Now, Okay, I'm moving on unless somebody has any questions. Okay, now, we did. So Amar Rabbi Bar Yosef. Rabbi Bar Yosef says, Rav Zan Mechite Da Aliyah. And we don't understand what this means, and we must be patient. So Rav would support daughters. In other words, his father had died, and Rav would support the daughters with the wheat, the Aliyah. We don't understand what that means either. So Ibailhu, so the question was asked in the base medrash, did this mean Parnasa Havya? Did it mean that it's like a dowry for the daughters, Umay Aliyah Me'iluya Da'av? Means that he did take, like, these are obviously metaflins, not real karka, but to give the daughters a dowry, Me'iluya Da'av, it means being based on an estimate on how generous the father would be, on the upper limits of his generosity. Like Shmuel teaches us, Damar Shmuel, the Parnasa Shamin Ba'av. Shmuel says when it comes to allotting money for the daughter's dowry and the father's not around, we make a projection as to what we think the father would have given, and then we take that from the estate. So one shot could be that Rav took the chite, he took the wheat, and presumably, you know, converted it into money, whatever, I don't know if he did, but the wheat was going to be for the dowry that he did. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps what it meant was Mizoni Mamish Haber. He meant that it's the food, that he's giving them food. So if he's giving them food, it's not the way we learned earlier. We learned earlier from the karka, but Rav is giving them even from the metaflin. Umaliyah, Mayaliyah. If that's the case, what does it mean? Chiti Daliyah. Midvarm Tovim Shinamru Ba'aliyah. Means from the wonderful words that were said Ba'aliyah in the upper chamber. Aliyah means not that the wheat is good, but it was said in the upper chamber. The Amar of Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Ba'aliyah Hitkinu. In an upper chamber, they established that the bottom, so notwithstanding, we said before, halacha is, we said that according to Rav Amnuna, that they only get from the karka, but at a later point in time, they decided that the girls are even supported from the metalflin, So we're not sure. So Rav gave these daughters chite da'aliyah. We don't know if it was a dowry allotment, which is a different parsha altogether, or it was food, in which case it represents like a later enactment. So Tashma, so the Gemara tries to bring a proof. He says, "Biyade de Rabbi Banai, achud Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, havu metaflin diatme." So Rabbi Banai was in possession of metaflin, long to be told. I mean, he was like an apotropos. He was like an administrator for an estate, and he had, you know, control, dominion control over metaflin that belonged to the Yitom, to orphans. So Atul Kami de Shmuel. So it sounds like the daughters came before Shmuel. So Amar Le Zilzun, he says, so Shmuel told his administrator, Zilzun, go, it sounds like, give them food. So my love, Lemizone, from Yitzchak Bar Yosef's here, like, is it not that Shmuel was saying, take money from the metaltalim or sell it or do whatever you need to do and give the daughters food from it because you're like the administrator of this estate, and supply them with their mizonos, even though it's from a metaflin and not from the karka? If so, then Shmuel would be holding, like Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef, he says that there's a later takana that they're mizonim from the metaflin. So the one says, lo, hat from the parnasa havoi. No, over there, it was for parnasa, for a dowry, with Shmuel atame, and Shmuel was following his shita, the Amar Shmuel, the parnasa shamin ba'av. Shmuel says, for parnasa, we make a projection as to what we think the father would have given, and then we follow suit with this. And by the way, I should have done this. Let's do the Rashi, 10 lines above where it gets wide on the left-hand column. We evaluate based on his generosity, or his stinginess. If he were alive, how much would he give from this property? This the Gemara wanted to say, it could be from the metaflin. They came into Omedat or Sheminan, since we're just doing what we think he would have done, so he says no difference between the karka and the metaflin. All right, now let me do a few more lines and then we'll pause. We'll take some questions, comments, and thoughts. Okay, hava uvda b'ner hada. There was an incident in ner hada, v'dun dayane d'ner hada, and dayanim in ner hada judged and gave the daughters support from the metaflin. The pumpadita. And similarly in Pumpadita, there were incidents where daughters required support, and Rav Chana Bar Bizna judged that the money should come from the metaflin. Amalu Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman said to all those Dayanim, Zila Hadru, I want you to revoke your previous orders. And if you don't revoke them, he says, I'm gonna have the money that was taken from the other Yorshim, you know, collected from your, you know, homes, from your mansions. In other words, on behalf of the Yatomim, I'm gonna, you know, get the money that you gave away. I'm gonna get it from your homes. So they said that Rav Nachman didn't really need the Rishus. He was like the Gadol Hador, but he wanted to, like, you know, he wanted them to do it, like, and I guess demonstrate the halacha. So Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, Sabur Lemezan Mimetaltalei, Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Asi, they thought that they'll support some daughters from the Metaltalim. Something that Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish didn't weigh in on whether you could do this or not. You're gonna do this. Rabbi Lazar Savar Lemezan Mimetaltalin. Rabbi Lazar thought to give support to the daughters from Metaltalin. Amar Lefanav Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliakim. Now here was Rabbi Lazar Savar Lemezan Mimetaltalin. It means he wanted to, like, persuade them that they should voluntarily, you know, support the daughters from the Metaltalin. So he says, Amar Lefanav Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliakim. So Rabbi Shimon Ben Eliakim said before him, Rebbe Yoneani Bechashim Idradin. I know that you're not doing like a din. You're doing like midas rachmanas. You're trying to, like, everything should be yosher. But if you're going to do this, so tamidim are going to see this, and they're going to think that's the halacha, and then they'll follow suit. And the halacha isn't necessarily this way. Now, the emesis today we do paskin that that's the way it's going to go. That's the way the art school had it, that we do support the girls with even the metoflin. Any questions, comments, thoughts so far, anything I did? All right, let me wrap it up and then we'll do a few stories and that'll be it. Now, okay, now we're five lines to the bottom on Nun Amud Beis. Okay, Hahuda Atoy L'Kamei D'Rabbi Yosef. Now, I think there's another gear that says Hahida Atoy L'Kamei D'Rabbi Yosef. There was a woman or a girl that came before Rabbi Yosef. Amar Lahu, Havulami Tmare da Albudya. So Rav Yosef said to the Yorshim, give her from the dates that are on the Budya. Now the Budya is the mat that's underneath the date palm trees. So let's look at Rashi. Rashi says in the second white line downstairs, Hava Ubda Badunda Inan Lazunana Metaflin. What's that? Yeah, we have Rav Yosef. Unless it's a different, that's the earlier case. I take it back. This is the third white line. Mitzvah dal budya shein metalflin budya machatzoshon and tachadakam shagodrin atmarim. So he said, give them like the dates that are on. In other words, like you harvest the dates and then they're on the mats, and give them those dates which are clearly metalflin. So Amarle Abaye. So Abaye said to Rabbi Yosef. You know, Abaye was the Talmud of Rabbi Yosef, and then he helped restore his learning. So Amarle Abaye. Ilu bal chov haba ki agav the mihaba yoyv lemar. Let's say it was a creditor that was trying to collect money that he had lent to the father. So we would only permit him to collect from the real property. And these girls, you're permitting to collect from the metalflin. So you're giving them like better rights than a bal chov. So he says, Amalei, the chazi lebudya kamina. So no, I didn't mean that they had fallen off the trees already or had been harvested from the trees. I meant that they're like ripe and re'ui for the mat, but they're still attached to the trees. So they're still attached to the trees. It's like karka, and they can collect from it. So turn page on al top line. So the Gemara asks, so kula only l'gzos gazes dam. That's a cloud the Gemara has in many different areas. That's something which is ready to be cut. We view it as being cut already. Like I told you, like it comes up by mikvah where the person has long nails. So kula only l'gzos gazes dami. So the long nails could be a chatzisa if you go into the mikvah, because it's ready to be cut off, and it's not cut off. So you, what? No, it's the same. In other words, ka'omi glazes k'gazes dami. So therefore, we view the nail that's there is like no, it's cut off, but it's still but in other words, it's not part of the nail anymore. The extra part that's ready to be cut off, but now it's like a chatzisa. Now it's like a chatzitza. That's why we don't understand it. So he says, so if that's the case, so he's saying So the dates, yeah, they're still attached, but we view them as being detached, so they're not entitled to it. So he says, no, I meant that they're almost ready to be harvested. In other words, they're in pretty good shape, but they still need some more nourishment from the tree. And that's what I meant, given that I'm not cutting new ground with this, but that's what I meant. Okay, let me just do a few things from the sheet, and then I think that will be it. I hope people will stay for late Marvin. Okay, now, let me do another
piece. Yeah, Marvin. Count Marvin.
Oh, wonderful. In. Thank you very much. Thank you. And thank him and thank you. Okay, now, we're going to do one piece at Staka, and then another piece with the stories. Okay, now, Rav Moshe Feinstein questioned whether the enactment of Usha, in which not give more than a fifth of his assets to Staka, creates a prohibition, or is it merely good advice? So when they say, is that like an Eitzah Tova, or is that like an Isur, that you shouldn't give more than a fifth? Okay, so he says, it would seem that one can infer from a later Gemara that it is prohibited, an Isur, and he quotes the Gemara later on in Samuk Zion. The Gemara challenged Mar Ukva's intent at the time of his death to give away half of his estate from the enactment. In other words, apparently Mar Ukva on his deathbed was directing that half of his estate should be given to Tzedakah. So the Gemara asks, how could he give away half of his estate? The Gemara says, he says that one is not permitted to give away more than a fifth of his assets. Obviously, so obviously, if the enactment was only good advice, it would seem logical that it should not apply when a person is about to die. Nevertheless, the Shulchan Aruch seems to indicate that one who has the financial means is obligated to provide money for the poor, even if it results in giving more than a fifth of one's assets. So, in contrast, concludes Ramosha, since the Rama cites the enactment, it is evident that he disagrees and maintains that it is prohibited to give more than a fifth of one's assets. So, the Rama, so from here he's saying that the Mechaber seems to say that if you have the means, then you should get even more than a fifth. And that's the way it sounds like from the Mechaber. But the Rama says you shouldn't give more than a fifth. So Ramosha wanted to say it sounds like it's a din. A fifth is a din. It says the Minchas Yitzchak disagrees with Ramosha's ruling. That's Rabbi Yitzchak's wife. He was a guy in England. Anyway, so he says he disagrees with Ramosha's ruling. He explains that Ramosha's ruling was built on the assumption that when the Rama cited the enactment, his intention was to disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. This is not true, asserts the Minchas Yitzchak, because if his intent was to disagree, the Rama, he would have begun his comments with the words, and there are those that say, V'yei Shomrim. In other words, the Rama, if he disagreed with the Mechaber, should say V'yei Shomrim, you can only give a fifth, which is his style. Furthermore, if one traces this halakha back to its primary sources, one will see that the Rama's intent was to provide a source and support for the Shulchan Aruch's ruling that one who is not wealthy should not give more than a fifth to the poor. He never intended to convey that even those who are wealthy may not give more than a fifth to tzedakah. In other words, it sounds like even the Rama agrees with that. Therefore, concludes Minchas Yitzchak, since nowadays there are many people who are in need of tzedakah, one who has the financial means is certainly permitted to give more than a fifth of his estate to tzedakah. Okay, now, we did the story about the Baal Shem Tov. Now let me do this. Rav Yashiv also concluded that Anshei Maaseh may give more than 20%, and then we did the story from the Divrei Chaim that it's, if you're doing it from Mr. Tzedakah, but if you need to atone, then it can't be a limit. When people would pester the Abbez and Alaj, Rav Eliyahu Chaim Maizel Zitzal, about this issue, he would always crack the same joke. Since I transgressed the prohibition to give more than 20% of my income to tzedakah, I give charity as my atonement. Then I realize that I have again transgressed and again give more to make up for this until I have no more money left. When someone asked him seriously about this, he replied, the restriction only concerns money doled out to pay for the goods that a poor person requires, but I give to people who are asking for food. When people are asking for food, one has increased obligations toward them. Naturally, I should feed these hungry unfortunates no matter what it costs. Okay, I think that's it for Daf Yomi. Yeah. So the Pasuk in Malachi says, Ubechanimun Nabazot. It says, Habiwit Kol Maasero Beit HaUtsar. So it's really Sugi in Baba Batra. In the first parak in Baba Batra. So the Gemara says that you're not allowed to test Hashem with mitzvahs, except by tzedakah. By tzedakah, a person can test a. Well, the Gemara doesn't say, the Torah says you'll get a bracha, but it doesn't say test Hashem. But by tzedakah, you give it and you test Hashem. So it says, bring the ma'aser to the beis ha'otzar, and there'll be like food in my home, I was giving it to the beis ha'mikdash, uvechanuni na bezodam arsham svakot. Test me with this. In law of tachlechem eder ubarashbayim varikutz lechem abracha b'lidai. If I don't open up the heavens to you, give him a bracha. So the Gemara says that by tztacha you can test Hashem.
It says.
Wait. What? So who said anybody went poor by giving? Oh, you mean the Basis who told me a chomesh? So first it's like this. The Pesukim only say, give a maaser and then test me with the bracha. But I'm saying, if I give away all my money, even with the bracha, the bracha is only chal on something you have. You got nothing, then you're out of gas. But I'll say this also. Yes. One second, I'm getting to Aaron Moshe. There's the Sefer Mirati Dayim from the Chernobyl Rebbe. That's Bert Lieberkohn's forebear. So the Gemara has a drasha. I'm sure you all heard. Aser taser, aser b'shvil shetit asher. Give him aser, so you become wealthy. So he says the pshat is not that way that you give it, like not that you give the maaser and then you have more money. He says that this is from the Chernobyl, or that's from Nachum Nachman of Chernobyl, which is now where we're in the Ukraine and everything. And one second. He says like this that okay, I wrap it up. So he says like this, that if you give a maaser, in other words, like you'll see you didn't even need it. In other words, you'll feel wealthier. In other words, like when you're stingy, you don't give anything away. Like, I feel I need everything. But if you open up and you give things to people, then you see, like kind of hard. Like, this person has nothing. I mean, it's like Rabbi Akiva. Like the person, remember, Eliyahu appears as a poor person, and Rabbi Akiva is nothing. And he says, we need some straw. You have some straw. He gives some straw. And the wife says to him, you see, there are people who don't even have straw. When you give away, you feel wealthier. Okay, Aaron Moshe, we get 60 seconds. Go.
One of the things is it says Siyan b'mishpat the father of Yeshuvia Stucker. So we'll get back Siyan with Stucker, but the Yosef Chaim Zonenfeld, he says Siyan b'mishpat the father is Gematria the Talmud Yerushalmi. In Yeshuvia Stucker, it's Gematria the Talmud Babli.
All right, so the Yerushalmi. So if you learn the Yerushalmi, that brings the Gula.
Okay, Siyan Yerushalmi and Babli. Both. The is Gematria the Talmud Babli.
Okay, thank you so much. Okay, I got to get going. Okay, nice having everybody. Nice
by the way, it's Mar and I am.
Let me end the recording. Wait, I messed it off. I turned it off by accident. I didn't know what I was doing. One second. Yeah, everybody's here. Okay, good. One second. Let me get this here. One second.
It's off already.
Well, no. Wait, one second. Okay.